If I've not had the pleasure of meeting you yet, my name is Eric, and I have the incredible privilege of serving as a lead pastor here. I want to take just a moment and welcome all those who are tuning in online. Thank you so much for being here with us. Even though you're not in the room, which the room, you feel so good. I'm so thankful you guys are here. We're making more space and more room, but we know we love you. We want you to know we love you, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube. Thanks for sharing, and I'm excited for this one, y'all. We're continuing our series called Keep God Weird, and it really comes straight from Scripture. I didn't come up with it. The Apostle Paul actually developed it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. This has been our theme verse for the whole collection of messages, and it's right here. He says this, for the message of Jesus, or the message of the cross, is foolishness to those who are perishing. So we all know people, or we are those people, who would look at Jesus or who would look at the church and go, that's cute, but like it's silly. I don't need that. But then you also know those people who've encountered Jesus and go, oh my goodness, I've discovered something. And we've kind of been taking a look at that and go, like the world really believes that God's weird. And so there's a pressure sometimes to normalize something that was never meant to be normal. And really, we're asking this question for the skeptic, for the doubter, and for the believer. We're asking this simple question, what if weird was actually wonderful? Like, what if the thing that you thought was weird for so long actually is the most wonderful thing that you could have ever experienced in your life? And I think that story is true in Sue Ann's story. It's in my story. I hope it's in your story. The thing that seems so weird, that seems so foolish, that seems so odd, actually became the most wonderful thing in my life. Y'all believe that? Well, I want to pray over our service today, and I'm going to read some scripture, and then we'll talk about it. Sound good? Let's pray. God, I need you to be with us today. God, I pray you speak to every person in the room. God, whether they're far from you, running from you, or they're running towards you, Lord, we just want to help them take a step today, whether they're online in the room or they're listening to it later on Spotify or whatever device. Lord, I pray that your word would speak the loudest through this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said together, amen. Hey, we're going to go to the Old Testament, and we're going to go to the story of a man named Samson. And I want to talk to you on this idea, and the message title that I'm using today, and I'm going to coin this quite a bit, is this may seem weird. This may seem weird, but will you try this? This may seem weird, but will you do this? I feel like every time I go to a chiropractor, I'm always like, ugh, because it may seem weird, but I'm going to snap your neck. This may seem weird, but you would try this dish, you know, like when you go to a new place. But we're going to go to the Old Testament in Judges chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. And I want to set the story up. The Philistines, who are the enemy of the children of Israel, are fighting, and they're actually ruling over Israel. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the Bible, that's okay. We're glad you're here. Let me help you understand something. God is not the enemy of people groups. So when you see these and you're like, why is God so mad at the Philistines? The story in the Old Testament is a narrative form of writing. And so when you see characters, it's not that God is upset at the characters, it's that God is upset at what they represent. So when we read the Old Testament, it's not like the New Testament. It's written in narrative form. So it's a story that has deeper meaning. So when we see the Philistines, what we see is the enemies of God, or those who would oppose God, those who are living in sin willfully. There's willful sin, and then there's like human, like, hey, I'm doing my best, but I sin. We all sin, even believers sin. But there's a difference when it's like, I know I'm sinning and I like it, versus I sinned and I don't like it. Come on, y'all with me? So the Philistines really represent the enemies of God, and the children of Israel represent believers, so you and I. And oftentimes, there's a constant battle between the forces of darkness and those who are believers, those like you and I who would be doing their best to pursue God and honor God, even if it is imperfectly. So I'm going to pick it up here. They're going to put it on the screen for you. Judges chapter 9, it says this, that the Philistines went up and camped in Judah, spreading out near Lehi. Lehi is important, remember that. The people of Judah asked, why have you come up to fight us? Again, this is the oppressor coming to the oppressed. We've come to take Samson, Samson prisoner. Samson had been causing trouble. Can I tell you, the enemy wants to capture and destroy any person who causes trouble for the enemies of darkness, or for the kingdoms of darkness. And it says, we've come to take Samson prisoner, they answered, to do to him as he did to us. Then 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave, the rock of Etam, and said to Samson, don't you realize that the Philistines are rulers over us? Why, what have you done to us? He answered, I merely did to them what they did to me. Come on, an eye for an eye. They said to him, we've come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines. Samson said, okay, swear to me that you won't kill me yourself. Agreed, they answered. We will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you. So they bound him up with two new ropes. It's important you remember that. Two new ropes. And led him up from the rock. As they approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting. The Spirit of God came upon him powerfully. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and bindings dropped from his hands. Finding the fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Then Samson said, with a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. He was flexing a little bit here. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men. When he finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramoth Lehi. Ramoth Lehi. So when we read the story, what we actually see is a supernatural moment, where God has the ability to take someone who is naturally strong and make them even stronger for his purposes. When we say the term supernatural, that's a really loaded term, because supernatural can mean a lot of things depending on your context, depending on your belief structure, depending on your worldview. When I say supernatural, you could believe magical, right? Oh, something magic, Disney-like. It's supernatural. If I say supernatural, if you grew up in the church, you immediately think miraculous. You know, water into wine, healing, raising from the dead. You know, it depends on what your context is. If I say supernatural, if you're one of those weird people who love Halloween, you immediately think paranormal. You think like ghosts and forces and all those types of things. How many of you guys are those people that love to watch horror movies? I hate that. Like, I just, like, get out of here. Get saved, somebody. I don't like it. Like, give me a good, happy story. I'm kidding. We love anybody, like I said earlier. You know, even science fiction has this kind of blur into the supernatural, where it's kind of like, is it sci-fi? Is it supernatural? So when I say supernatural, it could really mean a lot of different things to you. But I think there's a lot of people that would immediately go, supernatural, okay, that's weird. Like, I don't want to go there. Like, that's a bunch of, like, you know, it's one of those type of moments, like when you have a conversation with somebody and then they use a term and immediately it reframes everything that they've said. You ever done that? Like, okay, now I'm reconsidering the whole 15 minutes that we've been talking, because now I don't know if I can trust you, because, like, you just said supernatural. So, like, is everything about you as a little weird? And I think even Christians have a problem with this. Believers have a problem with, for really two main reasons. Number one, we have a problem because of our theology. Maybe we were brought up in a theology that says, yes, God can, but he doesn't do that anymore. Like, it stopped 2,000 years ago. But I'm here to tell you that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God moved miraculously then, he's going to move miraculously now. He's not done moving in a powerful way. The second thing is, for many believers, it just gets weird. It gets strange to them, because so supernatural means there's a part of it that's kind of out of my control. There's a part of it that I've kind of got to surrender over to what God is trying to do. And for all my control freaks in the room, that, like, literally freaks them out, because they're going like, I need to know what the plan is and exactly what's going to happen. And if God, if you start moving in ways that I don't really understand, I don't know if I'm okay with that. And God's like, you're right. I didn't check with you. My bad. What should I do on earth? Should I raise Jesus from the dead? No, keep him there. Okay, cool. And for the unbeliever, right? For the unbeliever, you're going like supernatural. Listen, man, I don't buy into the whole Jesus thing anyways. So, like, I don't care what you say. Supernatural, Jesus, all that kind of stuff. Keep it to yourself. It's all weird. It's all weird. So here we are at the supernatural. We got unbelievers who are like, I don't care about it. We got believers who's like, you know what? I really don't want to know about it. And, like, I'm cool with it being cool Bible stories, but I don't know how I feel about operating in the supernatural. You know, God wants to move in the supernatural. God wants to do things above and beyond our own ability. And God does it two ways. Sometimes he uses himself as an alone. Like he just uses, God just moves mightily in his own entity. And then sometimes, oftentimes, most times, he uses people. He uses you and I. He uses a person like Samson. He uses a person like Paul. He uses different individuals to do the supernatural for his purpose on earth. And you know, like for my doubters, for my people who think the supernatural is a little weird, like you don't really think the supernatural is weird. You just think the supernatural of the Bible is weird. I mean, look at human behavior. I mean, like the whole Marvel's universe movie series. Come on, how many of you guys are big Marvel's fan? I am. My kids are watching. We're watching it through the timeline. We watched Winter Soldier this past weekend. So we're working through it. Here's the deal. Here's why I know that society is actually okay with the supernatural. Because Marvel made $23 billion at the box office. Okay? That's just the box office. And you're like, well, that's not weird. Iron Man is just a really good tech guy. Yeah, what about Thor? He's an actual god. You don't believe in the god? The Bible, but you like to watch Thor. But you know, it's not just that, it's all these other things, right? Like you watch Stranger Things, you watch all these shows that have to do with supernatural stuff. Like you watch the Cowboys and they won last week, supernatural, right? Like all those type of things. Come on, Andy Dalton, really? But praise God, he can move through people. Like, we're actually okay with supernatural, we're just not okay with the supernatural of the Bible, because the supernatural of the Bible comes with some baggage. And that's why we would go, man, listen, that whole stuff is weird. So there's a pressure in a very politically correct society to kind of like flatten, right? Like you can't like Mexican food because it's cultural appropriation. I'm not trying to appropriate any culture. I just want fajitas. Come on, right? We got to flatten it out. So we kind of try to make God normal. Like, okay, if you're not okay with that part of God, well, what part of God do you like? And we'll just eliminate that part. And we'll just kind of put God in this little box that fits your normal. But the problem is that we actually don't understand weird. Man, I took some shots from some religious people who were like, you're calling our Lord and Heavenly Father, the author of the world, who sits on the throne. You're calling him weird? Yeah, I'm calling him weird. You just don't get weird. You don't understand weird. You think weird started as strange. It didn't start that way. The root of weird actually started in the 8th century as an old English word to define something as supernatural. You see, so when we call keep God weird, what we're actually saying is keep him supernatural. Don't keep him normal. Don't put him in a box. Don't say, God, here's the only way I'm okay with you is if you do this way and you do that way and you bless me and don't ask me anything of me and you heal me when I need you and you provide strength when I need you. But hey, don't do weird stuff, God. Don't do that supernatural business. So I think as a church in Austin, I just think that we should have a weird God. Now, I'm not saying strange. I'm not saying odd. I'm saying supernatural. I'm saying powerful. Right? You see, keeping God weird is keeping him supernatural. It's having a God that's bigger than us. It's having a God that's stronger than us. It's having a God that wants to do more in our city and in our community than we do. A normal God. Hey, listen up. Like, why do we need to worship a normal God? Like, what does normalcy, like, why does that deserve our praise and our adoration and our sacrifice and our worship? It doesn't. Like, we don't sing the way we sang this morning to someone who is normal. We sing to the way we sang this morning to someone who is supernatural. And we say, yes, man, I'm going to raise a hallelujah. I'm going to declare in the middle of my battle. I'm going to declare in the middle of my struggle. I'm going to declare hallelujah, and I'm going to keep God weird. Now, here's the deal. If you're religious and that ruffles your feathers, there's like 17 churches you could go to that in this church. And I will literally call the pastor for you. I got a saint here for you. Give them a front row. Put them on a team. Let them lead a group. Call it Religious Anonymous. They're in recovery. So the story of Samson, the story represents you and I. And Samson, what he's trying to do is he's trying to get fight against the Philistines. He's trying to fight against the enemies of darkness who are oppressing the children of Israel. And so he's been messing with them. In fact, if you read it, it's a pretty cool story. He goes and he beats up 30 dudes, take their clothes, and gives it to another people. He goes and finds foxes and ties foxes' tails together and puts a torch in it and sets them free in the Philistines' field. It's pretty cool. It'd be a pretty cool movie, actually. Take a look at it, read it. I mean, he's messing with the Philistines. Philistines don't like it, so what do? They come, and they're trying to find Samson. And they're trying to shut Samson up. In fact, Samson was an Israelite, and in Judges chapter 14, verse 4, he wants to marry a Philistine. Now, I need you to show you something really important here. So you can see it on the screen here, and if you're watching online, you can see it here. His parents did not know. His parents didn't want him to marry a Philistine. But I need you to see this, that did not know that this was from the Lord. Meaning that God wants to use you and I when we're aligned with his purposes. So God doesn't move supernaturally just for our entertainment. Right, God moves supernaturally for the church's edification, for the building up of the church, and for the building up of the believer. So it says here, who was seeking an occasion. You guys see that right there? Who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines. There is evil happening in every space of our world. And what God is doing is he's looking for a man or woman who he can use to confront the Philistines. So what force of darkness do you face every single day? Maybe you're married to him, right? And God is saying this, I am looking for an occasion so that light will overcome darkness. But y'all know, like, when you start fighting, like, there's an enemy and there's pressure. And I want to walk down this scripture and try to apply it to our lives a little bit. And the first pressure, the first thing you see here is in Judges chapter 15, verse 11. So Samson's fighting, and the Philistines come, and they're like, hey, man, Samson, stop fighting us. And they come to the children of Israel who are living under oppression. And the children of Israel come to Samson, and it picks up in verse 11. It says, then 3,000 men from Judah went down to a cave in the rock of Etam and said, Samson, don't you realize that the Philistines are ruling over us? Can I tell you that it'll be people that are okay with the current situation in their life, even if sin is ruling? How many people have learned to walk with a limp? Like, that's just my addiction. Like, I'm always going to struggle with that. Like, that's my thorn in my flesh. And they try to religious it. Right? That's just what I am. And we get comfortable living in a lesser state. We get comfortable living in oppression. We get comfortable living with anxiety. We get comfortable living in depression. We get comfortable living in the struggle. We get comfortable living in the cave of life. And God's going, what? And here's the first pressure you will experience when you begin to step out and ask God to use you in a supernatural way. Is this right here? The first pressure is going to come from inside you, that internal voice. See, the Israelites were Samson's own people. So what does this represent? Again, it's narrative, so we have to pull the principle out. And the principle is this, that in your own mind, heart, soul, and spirit, there's going to be a pressure on the inside of you that's like, don't do it. Don't you step out. Like, who do you think you are? Come on, do you really think God can use you? Come on, just be normal. Don't be weird. Just stay in your box, stay in your lane, fit the mold. Don't do that. Don't pray for her. Like, God ain't gonna listen to your prayer anyways. Like, don't invite them to church. No, and it's, come on. How many of you have been there? The narrative in your head begins to cycle, and suddenly you begin to tell yourself all the things you're not. Man, that's right. The Philistines, I'm sorry, Philistines. I'm sorry, sin. You're right. I should know my role. I should know my place. And it's to live as a subject to you. So suddenly sin dictates everything in my life. When I feel like doing it, even though I don't want to do it, I do it anyways. Even though I have the same patterns, the same thoughts, and like I want to step out, I want God to use me in a powerful way. But you know what? You're right. Know my role. Stay in the cave. Don't act a fool. Don't try to fight against it. Right? I know everybody at my corporation. Like, I know they think I'm weird. They already think I'm weird enough because I posted one time 3 years ago about went to church. So they already know I'm kind of a Jesus freak. Even though I've done nothing freakish. So let me go ahead and let's redefine terminology. Y'all want to preach with me? Online, you're going to preach with me too in the chat. Right? Okay, here's what you're going to do. Ready? So here's what I need from you. Anytime I say normal, I need you to say natural. Right? Because that's what it is. When we live normal lives, we live in our natural ability. So let's practice. Ready? Normal? Okay, y'all ain't even, come on. I see you, Boldens. Come on, right? When I say normal, you say? Chat, you ain't even doing it yet, right? I actually don't know, but I'm going to look you, right? So normal? Okay, when I say weird, right? You already, Brian, you watch the service at the 9 a.m., all right? Don't be cheating. He ran the camera. All right, when I say weird, you say supernatural, okay? Ready? Weird? Normal? Okay, I'm messing with you. Weird? Come on, I need 100% participation. Ready? Weird? Normal? Weird? Right. And here's what the enemy wants to get you to do. Just live normal. We practice for like 30 seconds. Just live normal. Don't be doing things outside of your own strength. Just keep God normal. No. God's a lesser God. You're the God. Right? But what if believers began to go, I might live a little bit weird. I know this may seem a little weird. Suddenly, God has an army of people who he can use. And the first pressure is always going to come internally. It's always going to be about what you're not. It's always going to be okay with the status quo. How many of us, we constantly live in communities, families, marriages, relationships, and life cycles where we just stick with the status quo? Like, we're fine with sin ruling over us. We're fine with sin destroying our community. We're fine with sin destroying marriages. We're fine just stuck in this toxic relationship. Why? Because I guess I just got to live normal. And I don't have the strength to rise above. I have normal wisdom. I have normal strength. And so I just get stuck. Well, I don't want to appear weird. I'll just live normal. Thank you. Y'all are so good. So we just tell ourselves, okay, I guess this marriage is going to be broken, and we just got to live normal for the kids. And then when the kids are out, we'll get a divorce. Okay, I guess, you know, like, I just keep hanging out with these toxic friendships because I'm too scared to, like, step out and be alone. Come on, there's so many people afraid to be alone. And so they keep going back to the old relationships. And so what do? They just stay in normal. So I wonder what pressure right now is the voice inside telling you, just stay in your sin and stay in the box of normal. So the next pressure is in verse 12. And they said, okay, we've come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines. And Samson says, okay, well, listen, swear to me you won't kill me. Agreed, they answered. We will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you. So they bound him with new ropes. Here's the deal. If the enemy can't stop you with the internal pressure, what the enemy will begin to do is bind you. So, like, you can try to make movement, but it's going to be in restriction. Here's what I mean. You see, new ropes means this, that they were really difficult to break. They were fresh. So Samson was a strong guy. I mean, in just a few passages earlier, a lion jumps out of him and grabs a lion by the mouth and rips him in half. Strong dude. Kind of like my friend Kristen down here. Biggest dude I know, right? Like, just feel his biceps later, and you'd be like, that is so weird. Right. So Samson's a strong dude. And here's the deal, church. Each one of you have a gift, and strength was his gift. Every single one of you have a spiritual gift. Every single one of you, God designed for a reason and a purpose. You are not an accident. You are purpose-built. You did not come off an assembly line. You didn't come up an assembly line. God didn't mass produce you. He designed you with purpose and reason and a gift. And here's what the enemy will try to do to get you to live normal. Just look like everybody else. Don't step out. And so what he'll do is he'll bind you. So we get stuck. So what does the enemy do? The enemy bound Samson's hands, which were his strength, which was a gift from God. Some of you, you have a gift of encouragement. Like when you meet people, you have encouragement coming here. And I'm not talking about meet people at church because that's easy. I'm talking like meet people in the workplace or just at Target. And they'll say something in a struggle and you'll feel a need to, but you're like, no, I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be weird. I'll just be normal. Right? So I'll just walk by them and be like, tough life for them. And so you don't step out with encouragement. Come on, some of you are Barnabases. Like you can step into the darkest situation and go, I believe in you. You've got this. And not just like generic stuff, but like you can get specific. Come on, how many of you guys have this ability to get specific? Right? My wife has this ability to get specific with me. She doesn't just go like, you're a great this. She actually gets specific with me. And I'm like, thank you. You're an encourager. Some of you have a gift of generosity. But every time you want to go give and bless somebody or bless the church, there's something that's kind of holding you back, even though it's a God-given gift. Can I tell you that not everybody has the gift of generosity? And so when you go to give, the enemy's tying you up. And you go, nah, I don't. Nah. Because normal is to worry about the things that you want. Normal is, right? Well, how do I want to spend the money? Weird is to be kingdom-minded. So when you talk to your friends and they're like, man, I'm working on my budget and all that kind of stuff, and you're like, man, I actually give 10% to the church, and they go, you're the weirdest. Don't you want to take a vacation? Oh, yeah, I can do both. God blesses my life. See, the world always puts it in an either-or situation. Come on, the believer says both. Like, that was the biggest teaching moment you'll hear right now. Okay, moving on. So, I remember there was a time when Natalie and I bought our first house. And we owned it for 6 months and then had to sell it. We bought it for $114,000, and I think it was 1,200 square feet. And we painted the kitchen Kelly green. It was such a bad decision. And we bought it in like the sticks, because we couldn't afford anything like in the city. And it was old, had an above ground pool, which I ruined. And so we ended up knowing we had to sell it because we were moving. And so we were stuck in a situation where honestly, like our faith began to feel a little bound up. And we stopped believing for more. We were just like, we started like, okay, we're going to take like at least a 6% hit because of real estate fees. And like, who sells a house in 6 months, like buying it in 6 months and makes a profit? Like, and we were broke. I'm like 23. So I have like 30 cents in my account, right? You know, and so we're struggling, y'all. And we're going like, we're stuck and we're all thinking normally. So we were thinking normally, 6%, we're going to take a hit. And it was like in 2008, when the market was like, so like we were just talking normally. And we're like, we're going to take a bath. So we're in a church service. And this church service is about like praying bold prayers. And they gave a little thing out to write a bold prayer. And so like, of course, like we start thinking like, okay, we want to sell our house, and we stop there. But then God began to speak to us a little bit, and I leaned over to Natalie, and I used language kind of like this, and I said, I know this may seem a little weird, but I feel like we can sell our house in a week and make $10,000. And because my wife's a faith person, she was like, yeah, all right, let's go. I'm always the weak one. I'm always like, write it. But I was more looking for her to be like, no, Eric, don't be weird. But she was like, oh, yeah, let's go. So I remember we wrote it down, and we went to Home Depot on that Sunday afternoon and got a for sale by owner sign. And I live in the sticks. Ain't nobody driving by my house. Here's the deal. Friday, contract on the house, $10,000, for sale by owner, in Jesus' name. I wonder how many of us, we live limited in our thinking because our internal pressure tells us don't step out. And then the enemy can get us to bind up and go, man, I don't want to be weird. I just want to be normal. Come on, preach with me. I don't want to be weird. I just want to stay normal. My thinking will stay normal. My belief will stay normal. My faith will stay normal. And here's the deal. The faith is the weapon of the believer. How do you come to Jesus? Through faith. How do you move mountains? Through faith. How do you believe for healing? Through faith, right? And so often, we want to live with normal faith, and it goes like, well, is it even feasible? Like, do we even know if, like, that's okay? I don't know. I'm going to live a little weird. I'm going to believe a little weird. I'm going to have faith that's a little weird. I'm going to encourage that's weird. I'm going to be generous that's weird. I'm going to serve with a little weird. I'm going to keep God weird. Hello, I don't know if y'all know. I'm kind of preaching. Anyways, so here you see this. So what happens in verse 14? First of all, his own people tried to get him to stop. Then they bound him up. And here's the thing, like if Samson was strong, he could have, like at any moment on the journey, broke the ropes, but he doesn't. Meaning we're always gonna have a situation that's bigger than us, stronger than us, and can beat us up. And we've all been there. Like, I don't know how to do this. Some of you are there in your marriage. I don't know how we can fix this. Let's give up. Don't give up. Some of you there with a kid. Kid's acting a fool. I don't know what we're going to do. Some of you there with a health diagnosis. I don't know how this is going to happen. During 2020, some of you there in a financial situation. I don't know how it's going to happen. And see, the whole journey from the cave to Lehi, Samson was bound up, and Samson was strong. Meaning there's a certain things in your life that you're not strong enough for. And so Samson, like if Samson could just do it in his own strength the minute he walked out of the cave, right? He could have just been like, psh, whoosh, kicked everybody's butt and left, right? But he didn't. He was tied up. We all face moments just like this. And that's what normal does. If you can't naturally find a way out, you're just stuck. But then when he gets to Lehi, the Philistines start charging after him, almost like a war cry. There they see their prisoner. Come on, and I can tell you that the enemy licks their chops when they see that they can maybe destroy a child of God. Oh, yeah, we got him now. Oh, man, Pastor Eric, he's an idiot. We're going to take him out. We're going to destroy him now. And it was at that moment, and I want you to see this, in verse 14, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now, maybe you grew up in a church where you didn't talk about this kind of stuff, where the Holy Spirit was like, that's like the other things. This ain't that church. You see, the Holy Spirit moves mightily on men and women all throughout Scripture when he puts his hand on them and the Holy Spirit empowers them. That's why David can run at a Goliath. Holy Spirit on him. That's why Paul can stand in chains. Holy Spirit on him. Come on. That's why the disciples were a bunch of scaredy cats, and after it, they all went after it and were crucified for it, right? Holy Spirit in power. There's something that happens in a believer's life when the Holy Spirit begins to rest upon them. And can I tell you that you have access to the Holy Spirit the minute you say yes to Jesus? There's a power. There's an anointing. There's a source that may be a little weird, but it's available for you. And it's at this moment that the things that were binding him fell off. Can I tell you that the addiction that you've been facing for 30 years, can I tell you one moment with Jesus can set you free? Can I tell you that depression that you've been facing, come on online, you've been scared to go outside, can I tell you joy in one moment? Can I tell you the anxiety that you've been struggling with? Come on, can I tell you peace in a moment? That was Sue Ann's story, right? The very next day she's in church, right? Because that was the moment where the Spirit of the Lord comes upon her. It was at this moment, and some of you read a story like this, and you go, why not me yet? Well, you hadn't made it to Lehi. You hadn't made it to the place where God knew, okay, I'm preordaining, this is when it's going to happen, and you're going to be used in Jesus' name. And some of you are still at the cave tied up, and God's going, don't quit, make it to Lehi. Don't quit. It may take 3 years. Make it to Lehi, because I'm setting up a trap. And all the people, all the coworkers, all the family members think they got you. And then when you get to Lehi, I know I'm silly. Forgive me. And it's in this moment that God began to use you miraculously. Sometimes you can get frustrated on the journey. God, why aren't you coming? Why aren't you setting me free? What's going on? And he's going, just get to Lehi. Just get to Lehi. If I set you free now, I can't destroy the Philistines. Like, I really believe this, y'all. Like, you got like 30 people in your life that need Jesus. And you're the only one that can help them. But some of you have quit before Lehi. And it's in Lehi that you are going to be able to set people free. It's in the place that God has ordained for your life, but you've quit. You've begun to live normal. So what does Samson do? Samson picks up a jawbone. And he grabbed it and he struck down 1,000 men. Can I tell you this? That God sees you. And God can free you. And God wants to use you. You see, this may seem weird. This may seem weird. But those ropes that should normally have kept you bound up can be broken. This may seem weird, but that cancer that's in your body is gone. This may seem weird, but you should be recovering from a hangover, but you're in church. Come on, somebody. This may seem weird, but normally you find the whole God thing foolish, but something's happening in your soul right now. You're mad at the person who invited you. Why did you bring me into this? I didn't even want Jesus. I don't even want all this stuff, but something's happening. Yeah, it's a little weird. It ain't normal. I'm not a TED talker. I'm not a motivational speaker. That's why I don't call sermons talks. They're messages, because it ain't my message. It's a message from heaven for you. There's too many churches that want to normalize what happens on a church. I just want to give you a talk. I ain't talking. I'm declaring the goodness of God. I'm declaring his mercy. I'm declaring his power. And it's not me. It's him. Trust me. Ask my wife. She knows. So why didn't God give Samson a suit of armor? You ever think about that? Like a jawbone, really, God? Like at least a sword. And Samson found Excalibur. There he picked up a sawed-off shotgun. Had some fun. Come on, welcome to Texas. There's no spear. There's no sword. There's no bow and arrow. I mean, David at least got a slingshot. God, you really going to give me a jawbone? Yeah. And it's not that like jawbones are now the new method. It's not like children of Israel are like, okay, guys, listen, Samson did it with a jawbone. We're throwing away all the swords. We're going to equip you with jawbones. That's not the point. The point is that God can sometimes do some weird things with ordinary things. Let's do it this way. Sometimes God can do some weird things with some normal things. That's the beauty of God. God doesn't need an M16. God doesn't need a suit of armor. God can take a jawbone of a donkey. God can take the very thing that everybody else would look at and go, no, you normally ain't gonna win with that. You normally ain't gonna win with that. Come on, preach with me. Y'all are gonna be so tired. You're gonna be taking an offering for a year. You're like, I have preached half the message, Eric. See, there's going to be things in your life that you look at and you go, there's no way God can normally use that. No way. See, the phone in your hand that used to be used for consumption is now going to be used for evangelism. I'm texting 30 people. Like, I'm not just going to scroll, infinite scroll. This is a weapon now. Why can't I encourage somebody every single day? Hey, I'm praying for you. I'm believing for you. Okay, don't be weird. Hey, online, you got eggs in your fridge, probably. They're not just for your omelet. What you're going to do next week is you're going to use those eggs for omelets for your neighbors and do a watch party and go, hey, I know this is a little seem weird. Can I make some eggs for you and watch church with me? Y'all see what I'm saying? Like, can you imagine going to a neighbor? Like, would you like a Denver omelet and Jesus? So you've been sitting in your house all alone being like, I hate Corona. Use this season. Use it. See, some of you go to a cubicle every day and you feel like it's a prison. It ain't a prison. It's just a way to trap people because you stand on the entrance and be like, let me tell you about Jesus. You can go nowhere. You see, God can take the ordinary things, the normal things, and he can do something a little weird. What is God wanting to do through you? I want to keep him weird. I don't want to put God in a box and tell him what he can't do. I want to tell God, if you want me to pick up a jawbone, I'll swing it until I'm exhausted. I'll swing it until you tell me to stop. And I want to set people free. I want to declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. I want to reach every person for Jesus. Can I tell you, I was in Quick Trip this week. And the manager was checking me out. And he was really nice. He was like over and above customer service. It wasn't like Popeyes. It was like incredible. And I was there, and he was so nice. And I had this thought. I was like, I'm going to invite him to church. But the first thing was, no, don't do that. That's weird. So I said this to him. I said, hey, like, I know this may seem a little weird. See, I'm reframing your thinking. But you have incredible customer service. And he's like, oh, thank you. And I go, are you the manager? He's like, yeah. And I go, man, like, I would, like, man, our church would be so much better with that kind of customer service. Would you ever want to come to church? And he did what most people do. Oh, like, you know, I'm just kind of like busy and, you know, things like that. Which maybe you're watching online. God bless you. Here's the deal. It wasn't about his answer. It was about my obedience. Come on, I wonder how many of you this week you're going to go, hey, no, this may seem a little weird, but can I just pray with you right now? Yeah, okay. And then you know what you're doing. You're inviting heaven into a space. Hey, I know this may seem a little weird. Can I buy your lunch and let's just talk? See, they think they're getting a meal out of it, but what you know is a miracle's coming. You say, hey, I know this may seem a little weird, but will you come to church with me? You see, they're just attending a service, and that's what they think they're doing. They, okay, yeah, I'll come to church. But what you're doing is introducing them to the person that will literally change their life. Come on, somebody, that's supernatural. If God can use a jawbone, can he use you too? And here's the deal. This is my last thing. I'm done. Samson was an idiot. He really was. Like, study Samson. Samson is like one of the worst Christians in the Bible. He doesn't listen to God. He's egotistical. He's arrogant. He gives in to lustful desires, right? Like, he marries a trap, right? And all those types of things, you know? And God still uses him. So this is not about how great Samson is. This is about how great our God is. And this is not a message for you to be Samson, because life actually ends up really bad for Samson. He has his eyes gouged out. He gets crushed under a roof. It's not good. Read further in the story. So this is not like keep in your way. This is about this. So many believers, right here, so many believers have been trained that until like I reach a spiritual level, God will not be able to use me powerfully. So it's almost like until I can memorize 17 verses, God's never going to be able. Like, some of y'all don't even own a Bible. God can use you. Some of you are like, well, I can't sin for 36 months or else I have to restart because like God can't use a sinner. Yes, he can. Hello. And so some of us, we hit this block in our mind that God can't use me until. No, God can use you right now. God does not need your performance. God does not need your perfection. God just needs your availability. And if you'll say, God, I know it's not normal. I'll be a little weird. God, use me supernaturally. I don't have to wait. God can use you now. And you can walk into spaces and places with all the imperfections that everybody knows you have. But you bring with you a perfect God, a powerful God, a weird God. And that's a testimony. I mean, look at Samson. Samson defeats 1,000 people with a jawbone and writes a song about himself. Are you an idiot? He literally writes, he says, with a donkey bone, I have made donkeys. Really? You did it. And the fact that God would use a man like this is a breath of fresh air for me. God, use me. God, use me.